preaching a sermon tonight on the topic of thank you. Thank you. In Luke 17:11, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you bless me tonight as I bring this very simple thought to the people here of this good church. And I pray that you would work in our hearts and help us to be open to what the Bible has here to say about having a heart filled with gratitude. Amen. Leprosy is a dreaded disease. It was a dreaded disease for thousands of years of the earth's history. Less than 100 years ago, they finally found a cure for it. Up until that time, it was the AIDS of the day. If you had it, you were done. It was just a matter of how long. Leprosy was a physically debilitating disease. It was a disease that took you from any kind of healthfulness. It was a socially isolating disease. It was sort of like being banished from society. You don't need to turn there, but in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there's the Mosaic law of the leper. And this is what the Bible says happens to the leper. "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." Now, how would you like to have that? Well, you go in to see the doctor. You say, "Doctor, I think I've got a red sore here. I don't know really what it is." And the doctor would say, "Let me tell you what it is. This is something you're going to have to take your clothes there and get rid of them. We've got to put those and burn them somewhere. You're going to have to put a covering over your lip the rest of your life. If you're ever around even close to anybody, you got to be saying, 'I'm defiled.' You got to be hollering, 'Unclean, unclean.' You know that nice house where you live? You're out of there, buddy. You're out of the city. You're alone. You're by yourself. You're a leper." That was leprosy. And that was a pretty serious problem to have. In the United States these days, even though the Civil War's been over for a long time, we still have a lot of race problems. And there are a lot of families who have difficulties about what they will and won't allow. And there are a lot of employers. You understand what I'm talking about. Back in Bible days, it wasn't a black-white problem. It wasn't an Asian-American problem. It was a Jew and Samaritan problem. And the Samaritans were the kind of people that the Jews liked to spit on. They're the kind of people that the Jews hated so badly, they wouldn't even want to talk to them. Those were the Samaritans. Look at a map of Israel sometime, and you can find some pretty straight ways. I've been driving a lot, making a lot of trips with my dad. He likes to drive the country routes and find the shortest distance, not the Jews. They would go way out of their way and walk around Samaria because they were too good in their mind to even walk through those despicable people. That was what it was like to be a Samaritan. Now here you have a man who is a Samaritan and a leper. Here's a man that if he ever did get everything worked out, if he ever did get healed, he was going back to live in a place where nobody liked him. What a life. And besides being a Samaritan and nobody even liked him and they despised him, he was an outcast from society. They didn't know how leprosy got started. They didn't know how to get rid of it. They just knew if you had it, you couldn't be with the rest of us. You are not one of us. And he was here and 9 other lepers with him in this old leper colony. But you know, when Jesus comes by, things change. I'm thinking with fond memories, and I commend you for having this vacation Bible school. Because when I was 7 years old, back in 1969, I rode a bus to vacation Bible school, and that's where I got saved. And some of you are teaching here and working here and driving buses and being helpers. You don't know who's coming through here. I mean, there was, when somebody saw me as a 7-year-old kid, they never said, oh, boy, this is going to be a Baptist preacher. They said, he's going to be a hoodlum, you know. And so you're doing the right thing here. But when Jesus comes to somebody's life, things are different. And it's very interesting. In verse 13, these lepers saw Jesus coming by, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And they wanted themselves fixed. And that word mercy has a lot of meanings in the Bible. In the Old Testament, one of the most remarkable meanings ever found about the word mercy. Sometimes it means different things, but there's a shade of mercy used often in the Psalms. In the Old Testament, you know, they had a lot of customs back then, a lot of different things that they did. And if you were my worker, you worked for me, I'm the boss, I'm the big guy, you're the little guy, I would greet you and I would bow from the waist. That's how I'd bow towards a worker. If I was a boss and you were a boss, we were equal, we were both boss, when I bowed, I'd bow my head. I'd greet you like that. So my son is here, I'm the father, he's the son, so I have a superior position. He looks up to me as a father. I say, hey, Brad, how are you doing? Bow like that. But Brother Ross, I work at a church. He works at a church. He's my equal. I say, how are you doing? And I would bow my head that way because he was equal. And the Bible says that sometimes that word mercy is when God chooses to treat us as equals. And when we come to him, he doesn't act to us like, get on your knees, you little no good for nothing. He says, I'm having mercy. Now, we're not equal with God, don't get me wrong. But sometimes God chooses to treat us with that kind of mercy. The beautiful picture of God's love for us. And these people probably didn't even know all they were asking. But they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Scraping their sores and crying, unclean, unclean, outcast from society. They said, God, help me. Please, could you help me in this condition I have? And Jesus, when he saw him, said, go show yourselves to the priest. I don't have any notion that I'm in a charismatic church here. I think this is probably a pretty good Baptist church. When I saw the sign, it said independent and fundamental. It did not say speaking in tongues and snake handling. But just in case you have ever a temptation to go that way, I want to remind you, here, these lepers are being healed. But go back sometime. We won't do it tonight because we want to get out and go to Dairy Queen, you know. But sometime, take your Bible and turn to Leviticus 14 and you'll find the law of the leper. And if you ever got healed, you had to go back and tell the priest what was going on, and he had to check you out and so forth. Now, interesting, when Jesus healed people, he healed them according to what the Bible said to do. Now, some of these modern charismatic people, they claim to heal people, and they're doing things all that the Bible never talks about. If you ever are wondering about that, remember when Jesus healed somebody, he went by the book. He said, hey, go show yourselves unto the priests. And they went to do that, and they were walking. And they begin to notice this leprosy is going away. I mean, my skin, it's getting better. It's gone. I mean, the leprosy, it's not here anymore. And man, they were excited. See, that meant, number one, they're not going to have pain. Number two, they're not going to have all this suffering and these horrible, ugly, just disgusting running sores. All that was going away. But what it meant over and beyond that was, I get to go home again. I get to go back to my family, to my town. I don't have to live away from anybody more. And man, they were so excited about that. Man, they said, we're, and they were just, I don't know what they did, but they were happy. But one of them, now there were 10 of them, but one of them saw. The Bible says in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he began to notice what was going on around him. He just noticed what happened. And he turned. And he glorified God. I think that meant he went, oh God, thank you. And he fell down and he gave thanks, the Bible says. The other people just kept walking. And they just kept going. And they just kept doing their own thing. But this one saw and turned and fell down and gave thanks. Now, I think that that pattern of that Samaritan leper right there is exactly what we need. You see, leprosy so often reminds us of our sin. And when these men are cleansed, it kind of reminds us of when we got saved. And it kind of reminds us of the blessings that God has put on our lives. And sometimes we have it. We have salvation. We have baptism. We have eternal security. We have a God we can talk to. We have a free country to live in. We have financial blessing. We've got food on the table. We've got family that's well. And sometimes we have every bit of that and we don't see it. We see what I still want to have. We've got a car to drive, but we don't see it. We see the next one we want to buy. We have clothes to wear, but we don't see them. We see the next outfit we want to buy. We have people who care about us, but we don't see it. We want them different. Change them. We don't see what we have. And the first thing that this Samaritan, this outcast Samaritan leper did was he just took a moment to see what he had. He just saw it. It's not hard, except most people are blind. John Newton, bless his heart, was a slave trader. Went into the heart of Africa and got slaves out and was a slave trader and got so far away from God and away from his mother's Bible teaching. One time he himself was imprisoned by an African queen who chained him up like an animal. He finally got away from all that and became a pastor. Wrote this song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And you know, sometimes there's something to be said for seeing it. Oh yeah, are you saved? Tell me amen. Yes, I'm saved. But do you see it? Did you see it today? Did you take time and say, Lord, I am saved. I know I'm saved. I see it. I see what you have done for me. I don't know about you, but like me, more people I know need to go on a diet than are hungry. That's because we've got food on the table, and we've got food in the fridge, and we've got food at the pantry, and we've got food at IGA when we run out and money to buy it with, and we don't see it. When I was standing in Iloilo City, Philippines, and looking out at the garbage dump. Missionary Rick Martin said, this is the garbage dump in our city. And people piling like animals through the trash and through the rubbish looking for something to eat. Lots of people, that's where they lived. And they didn't have much money in Iloilo City, so the city government, they just poured some concrete over in the corner so the people who lived in the garbage dump could play basketball there from time to time. Guy saw the big, huge, gaping sore on his head, looking for something to eat. And that missionary, he looked at those people and he said, Mike, let me tell you, there are people who are born and they live here and they die. And that's everything they know about life. And he said, we got to come tell them the gospel, because how would you like to go to hell after a life in the garbage heap? And here in America, the poorest among us is wealthy. But do we see it? Do we see what God has given us? This Samaritan leper, the Bible says, he saw that he was healed. And he turned back. I'm afraid, Brother Ross, there are an awful lot of people, even if they ever see anything, they don't do any turning. You see, hey, preacher, I see what you're saying about that, but don't ask me to change what I do in my house about it. I see what you're telling me about, but don't ask me to do anything about it. But this man saw it, and he turned. And he was making a change in his direction. And he was going, instead of away from Jesus, he was going right back to Jesus. And he fell down. And I'm afraid that's where the rub of the problem is. We get to Jesus, and we're all filled with our pride. By the way, Brother Ross, did I tell you how great I am? I mean, that's our attitude in so many cases. Let me show you. Did I show? This is a designer tie. Back, you know, when we were kids, we were doing well to have matching clothes. Now you have to wear the tags on the outside so people know that they're designer clothes. You know, I mean, all these different things, you know. And we're so eager to tell people how good we are. Let me tell you, not that I'm trying to brag or anything, but man, I'm good. You know, I mean, we kind of have that kind of an attitude, you know. But this man wasn't trying to lift himself up. He saw what God did for him, and he turned around and he fell down. And his pride went right out the window, and he said, God, thank you. Thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you. I couldn't have saved myself, God. Thank you for doing it for me. God, I couldn't have cleansed myself from this isolating leprosy, but I thank you for doing it for me. God, I couldn't have brought myself back to where I could go home and live with my friends and family again, but you did it for me, God, and I thank you for doing that for me. God, I know I could not do it alone. Thank you. And he said, thank you to Jesus. He saw, he turned, he fell, and he thanked. Bob Jones Sr. said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Do you want to know what kind of a Christian you are? Do you thank God for the good? For the bad? Oh, you say, yes, I thank God. Okay, did you thank him today? I mean, this man actually said it in words. He didn't just feel an oozy feeling of thanks. He fell down and out loud gave thanks. You want to know about how good of a husband you are? Have you thanked your wife for what she does? With words? Do you want to know about how good of a child you are? Have you thanked your parents? You want to know about how good of a parent you are? Have you thanked your kids? You want to know how good of an employer you are? Have you thanked the people that work for you? Now remember, you don't get thanks, you give it. You say to people, you know what you are doing for me is a blessing to me, and I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for doing that. You know, and a lot of times people don't know what to say to that. I mean, they're used to getting cussed out, and they're used to getting no thanks, but have you thanked? Now, here's the deal. There's nobody sitting in this room tonight who's a born-again child of God who didn't have some leprosy of sin. And there's no one who ever got saved from that sin who saved himself from it. Oh, that's what they taught me when I was Catholic. Oh, they said, Mike, when you get to heaven, I remember my Sunday school teacher about first grade, so you'll be a big scale up there. And God will put all your good in one side and all your bad. If you've got more good than bad, you can go in. Oh, no. That's not what the Bible says. You don't get to save yourself. You didn't do anything to save yourself. God saved you, and you turn and you look back at him. You give thanks. And the Samaritan leper gave thanks. The outcast, the one who was out of the family of God's children, that's what we were. Before Jesus Christ got hold of us, we were leprous outcasts. We couldn't save ourselves and we couldn't go back to the family. And Jesus did every bit of that. And we turn and we fall on our feet. We relinquish that foolish pride. We're not going to thank anybody. And we say, God, I owe you everything. Now, you know what? I've been in the classroom for so long. My students think I'm a Hitler in the classroom. I have heard every sob story there is to hear. Oh, I can't do it. It used to be back in the ancient days. My typewriter ran out of ribbon at the last minute this morning, so my paper's late. Now, the printer had a jam. It was beyond my control. I've heard all of the stories. The dog ate my paper. My roommate was cleaning for white glove inspection and threw it in the garbage, and I've heard every story. And now I used to look and say, I'm so sorry. You flunked. Now I just say, I'm not even sorry. You flunk, Now I've heard this story so many times teaching in the college. I go into class day one. Your major project's due on this day. No sob stories, please. I'm a heartless, terrible person. I had a girl. She was so dumb. Bless her heart. She came to me. Now, folks, we're not talking about fourth grade. We're talking about 14th grade. This isn't college now. She said, Dr. Zachary, I have researched all semester long about Beethoven, and I've written a 10-page paper about him after all my research. And then she starts the tears. And I just realized that I spelled his name wrong through the whole paper. How do you study about some guy for 3 months and not know how to spell his name? She's a crying along the way. And I'm like, God bless you. Go, get out of here. And you have these situations that come up, and sometimes you just wonder, good night. And I know if you had a bunch of my students here, they would not talk like the nice things Brother Ross said. They would just say, go ahead and kill them. They say, But not long ago, even though I have been a callous, Hitler-like teacher for more than 20 years, I've offended people, flunked their children, took their money and flunked their kid. It's just a heartless thing. I was teaching not long ago, and I was just being a brat, Just like it. I was treating those people like they were my sisters. This one girl, she starts playing unfair. She took a piece of paper out and she wrote on it, And she said, Brother Zachary, thank you for teaching us this class. I've really learned a lot. I think I'll learn even more when I take it the next time. You know, she said, you know, and here I am, you know, I'm so old and so mean and so callous and, you know, I don't want to hear your sob stories. Just have character and do right, you know, kind of deal. And I get this little thank you note. And it changes me. After all these years, Brother Ross, it still makes a difference when somebody says, thank you. It still matters. I have several thank you notes. I couldn't believe it. You would have to be in my shoes. I mean, I am just a terrible person. I at our church, one of the things I do is I head up the publications that we do. And we've got lots of stuff out and lots of projects, you know, and I don't have a lot of help. I work a lot of late hours and do a lot of things myself. And I get these two college students this year who are stupid. They come to me and say, we want to work for you, volunteer. We want to work for you 20 hours a week apiece, and we don't want a penny to do it. And I'm sitting there thinking, that'll increase the profits. Yeah, let's write this down, you know. And I thought, you know, they must be illiterate or something like that. You know, what's the deal? This girl comes to me and she says, there's somebody else here in the college that wants to hire me for, I think, $7.60 an hour. And she said, but I'd rather work for you volunteer than work in that department. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I'd be paying these people $8 an hour, 8 times 20 is 160, times 2 is 320. Wow, I'm thinking in financial terms. And I'm thinking, I better be nice to these people because they're doing me a big favor. And I'll never forget this young man whose name was Brad. He gets out of, Brother Ross, he gets out a piece of paper and he writes me a note and says, Brother Zachary, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity of learning. He's working for me free. And I should be thanking him. And he writes down there, I want to thank you for letting me work for you. And you know what? As old and thank you, you wouldn't believe how many people want to hear you say thank you. You wouldn't believe the number of people nobody says thank you to. And what the Bible says tonight is this man who, if the normal thing happened until his dying day, he would live desolate and he would cry, unclean, unclean. And he would have nothing. And Jesus came by and healed him. He said nothing. And the next one said nothing. And nine of them said absolutely nothing. But the tenth one saw, and he turned, and he bowed his knee to God, and he said, thank you. And right there is what the Bible means when it says giving thanks always. And what we need to do is we need to realize that no matter how much money we put in the offering plate and how many times we came to church and got perfect attendance, and I fast 3 times in the week and make tithes of all that I possess, and I thank God I'm not as others. You know, we've got to be careful. We haven't let that replace our attitude of thankfulness. And there are people that we need, you need, I need to say thank you. Thank you for what you have done for me. And of all things, we should not let any day go by without saying to our God in heaven, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me. thy great salvation, so rich, so free. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simple truth of this leper who you chose to record in Scripture, just the fact that he said, thank you. And I pray that you'd work in our hearts this evening as you need to.